Let's pray. Lord, we thank you we're in your house. We thank you that you are here with us and you are going to speak to us through your word in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Just high five the person next to you as you take your seats and say, it's time to get excited. Awesome. Well, as Jeannie said, we want to give you a welcome if you're new to Icon Church. This is your first time, whether you're in Stocksbridge and it's your first time in Chesterfield or in Sheffield and it's your first time. We want to welcome you and say we're glad you're here, you belong here, and you're only a stranger once, so we look forward to getting to know you better. So come on, church, let's welcome every person here for the first time. You may remember, if you've been to Icon Church for any time and you were around in May, you may remember me telling this story, and I'm going to put a picture up on the screen. And it's a story about watches. In 1968, the Swiss produced 65% of the watch market and enjoyed 80% of its profits. It had been the market leader for 60 years, and then digital happened. Watches like this. Can anybody remember this watch? You can still get them. And the Japanese came along and watches went digital. And the Swiss watchmakers were offered the technology, but they turned it down. They preferred the watches with gears, and they turned down that opportunity. And of course, the market share went down. Now, don't feel sorry for the Swiss, because as their market share went down, all they did was put up their prices. And actually, the best investment you can make at the moment, by the way, I'm not a financial advisor, disclaimer, is a Swiss watch. That's the fastest growing investment you can make. We could say the Swiss were more focused on maintenance than mission, though. I told this story. The reason I'm telling this story again is that I told this story at a church a few weeks later in High Wycombe, a church that's now called Vibe Church, led by, many of us would know the pastors there, some good friends of so many of us, Ant and Sarah Lee. And as I shared this picture and as I was sharing this story, there was a man sat right in the middle of the congregation. He started lifting his hand and he started waving at me. I was checked to see if he was all right. And he was waving at me and pointing to his watch, and I thanked him for his enthusiasm. And I actually said this to him. I said, you know, God brought you here today and he's put you in that seat just to encourage me. I said that just to make him stop. Because like I had to say something, and that's what I said to him. Anyway, I thanked him and I went to him after the service, and he was so excited. He said, I've got that watch. That watch you've shown, I've got it. Look, it's the exact same thing. And here's the thing, I don't normally come to church. My family comes to this church, but I woke up this morning and something inside me was telling me I need to go to church with my family today. I feel like it could have been God. What do you think? So I said, I think it was definitely God. And I said to him, do you want to give God your life today? Would you like to give him your life? And he said, I do. And I prayed a prayer with him. I led him in a prayer. And I said, are you ready to give him your life? And he said, yes. And he prayed that prayer. A few weeks ago, he was baptized. He's still in that church right now, regularly attending church. Come on. Doing Alpha. God is so good. It reminds me what Jesus says, actually, in John chapter 5. When the Jewish leaders criticize him for healing on the Sabbath, they always wanted to criticize him for something. But because you're not meant to work on the Sabbath and Jesus has healed somebody, the Jewish leaders criticize him. But look what he says in John chapter 5, verse 17. In his defense, Jesus said to them, my Father is always working. Now let me just pause there. God is always working. Even to this very day, Jesus says, he's working and I am working too. Even when I don't see it, God is working. Even when I don't feel it, God is working. I believe God wants some of us to understand that today. Even when my prayers seem like they're just falling on deaf ears and they're hitting, you know, brass ceilings, God is always working. He's on the move. He's always on the move. You know, we often ask God to move, don't we? We prayed this morning, pre-service prayer, and we're saying, Lord, move today. Move in people's lives. Move in our congregation. Move in Stocksbridge. Move in Sheffield. Move in Chesterfield. God is always moving, and often we ask God, will you move? But I want to focus these next 2 weeks, the fact that God is asking us to move. God is asking us to move. He's reminding us that he is moving, and he is saying to his church, it's time to move. It's time for the church to get back on the front foot. It's time for Icon Church to be on the front foot and moving forward in Jesus' name. Now, I have to say, the applause has been a little bit poor today. Not from George. George was leading the applause there. Imagine George. Well, George is the guy in the cop at the football guy who starts the singing. And we all follow. And that's what George is doing for us today. I heard this week how Mark Wilkins spoke last week, actually, in Sheffield about the Exodus. And he made the point that when God parted the Red Sea and the children of Israel came out of the wilderness, and also when they come to the Jordan River so that they can go into the promised land after 40 years, somebody has to step into the Red Sea first. Somebody has to step into the Jordan River first. And I'm glad about that. The Talmud, which I know you're all reading, but the Talmud, which is a commentary on the Torah, and the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. The Talmud is a commentary. It says this: when Israel stood facing the Red Sea and the command was given to move forward, each of the tribes hesitated, saying, we don't want to be first to jump into the sea. And then it says, Nashon saw what was happening, and he jumped into the sea. Someone has to go first. Someone has to take a step. God is moving, and God asks us to move and take a step. Mark shared in Sheffield, so I heard, that he thought this was a prophetic thing because it's time to move. It's time to take a step forward. It's time to go ahead. It's time for the church to be back on the front foot and engage again fully with the mission of Jesus. You know, we've experienced so many changes, haven't we, over the last few years? And we're still experiencing changes. We're still experiencing disruption. So many things have changed and continue to change rapidly in our world. But I am glad today that there's something that hasn't changed, and his name is Jesus. The Bible tells us this in Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's faithful and he's reliable and he's the same. He's the same. I'm so glad about that. And I think if he hasn't changed in his character, in his person, in his vision, in his passion, then he hasn't changed his mind about his mission. And that means that you and I today, if we're followers of Jesus, are part of the greatest movement on the planet and that the world has ever known. We're part of a movement that carries at its heart the message of how somebody, a person, can be reconciled to God and be brought into relationship with God, be reconciled to their neighbor, to love their neighbors as themselves, and also to find the purpose that God designed for their life. One thing is certain, we are not part of this revolution called the church. And by the way, the church isn't dull, boring, irrelevant. The church is a revolution. Come on. Yeah. We are not part of this revolution known as the church in order to maintain the status quo. We are here not to hold the fort until Jesus comes, as one hymn, old hymn, suggests. We are a people on a mission, the mission of God. Your purpose, I believe, my purpose, our purpose and joy will not be found fully in anything else but joining Jesus in his mission. You know, we look as human beings for fulfillment. As human beings, we are meaning creatures. We need meaning and purpose in our lives, and we're looking so many places to find fulfillment. And the latest craze, seems to me, is that when we don't feel fulfilled, we now don't just look somewhere else, but we find somebody to blame for our unfulfillment. That seems to be the latest craze to me. But it all comes from this sense that as human beings, we long for purpose. Philosophy has told us and concluded that our idols, where we look for purpose, our idols will always disappoint us. In fact, some philosophers have said to us that your idols don't just disappoint you. Ultimately, they devour you. I want to read a quote from David Foster Wallace. And it's about worship. And it's about what we worship. And it says this: there's no such thing as not worshiping. Everybody worships. The only choice we get is what to worship. And the compelling reason for choosing some sort of God or spiritual type of thing to worship is that pretty much anything else you worship will eat you alive. If you worship money and things, if they're where you tap real meaning in life, then you will never have enough. Does anybody notice that? Never feel you have enough. It's the truth. Worship your own body and beauty and sexual allure, and you will always feel ugly. And when time and age start showing, you will die a million deaths before they finally plant you in the grave, obviously. Our idols ultimately don't just disappoint us, they devour us and destroy us. Let me tell you this morning the difference between an idol and an icon. An idol and an icon. You see, an idol says, look at me. Look at me. And it points to itself. Feed me. Give me everything you've got. You've given me so much, but I want more. Feed me, feed me, feed me now. Feed me more. Whatever we put in that place of worship as an idol says, feed me. Points to itself. It can be a football team. It can be a person. It can be music. It can be sex. It can be power. Whatever it is, says, look at me. Sorry, I'm getting sweaty and this is sticking to me. You needed to know that in Stocksbridge. It's getting hot in here. Whatever our idols are, they say, look at me, feed me, give me everything. How much can I take from you? But an icon is completely different. Yeah. An icon says, look through me, yeah, and look at that. That's why this church is called Icon Church and not Idol Church. Because our purpose is to say to every person, look through us and look to something greater. Look through us and look to something, someone greater. His name is Jesus. An icon says, don't worship me, worship that, worship that person. And we are doing that continually as Icon Church, calling people, look to Jesus, man. He won't eat you alive. He won't devour you. He won't destroy you. His goal for you is to give you life and life to the fullness. So an icon, I-C-O-N, and as we spell it, I-K-O-N, an icon is saying, don't look at me, look through me and see Jesus, because he will give you life and life to the full. And that's our purpose. That's our goal. And when we see Jesus, we see his passion. Let me read these verses to us. In Luke chapter 14, verses 16 to 24, it says this: a certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servants to those who'd been invited. Come, for the banquet's ready. Everything's ready. But they all began to make excuses. The first said, I brought a field and must go and see it. He had an interesting life, didn't he? Please excuse me. Another said, I've just bought a yoke of oxen, two cows, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, I've just got married. She won't let me. That one we all understand. The servant comes back and he reports this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, go out quickly to the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor, bring in the crippled, bring in the blind, bring in the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done. We've done it, but there's still room. And the master then told his servant, now go to the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who was originally invited will get a taste of my banquet. Jesus teaches this story. And then at the end of his life, as he approaches Jerusalem, we read this in Luke 19, 41 to 42. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you, Jerusalem, even you, had only known that on this day, what would bring you peace, but now it's hidden from your eyes. I think in these two short passages, we see Jesus' passion for people. We see his passion to reach people, to invite people to the banquet that he is serving up. His passion to see his house full. His passion that people would have peace in their lives. How we need that in 2023. So many people talk about the pace of life. The pace of life, how busy we are, how fast-paced life is. But I don't think the real problem in our world is pace. I think the real problem in our world is peace. And Jesus' passion for humanity is that we would be rescued, that we would be saved, that we would receive life, that we would enjoy the kingdom of God. Life full of meaning, life full of purpose. That's his purpose for humanity, but that's his purpose for you, and that's his purpose for me. In Luke 19, he tells a famous story. It's of Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector. And at the end of the story, Jesus describes his purpose. He says this, for the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost. I love that translation, came to seek out and to save the lost. Remember where we started? My Father is always working. That means that right now, while we're here, hearing his word, even in this room, the Father is working and seeking people. There are people in your family, work colleagues, neighbors, friends, and the Holy Spirit is working on their hearts. You're going to bump into people tomorrow, and you may not even recognize it or know it, but God's at work in their heart and their life. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost. He's seeking people. They could be in your home, they could be in your office, they could be in your school, in your factory, in your street, in your community. Jesus and the Father are seeking them out. I've got a few questions for us before we close this morning. The first question is this, do we have the same passion? Have we got that same passion for others, for people as God has? Second question is, do we want to join in on his mission? God is moving. We can't just be content to watch and sit. Do we want to join him on his mission? Jesus is moving. My Father is working, he says. He's always working, and so am I. Maybe today we think reaching others is just for special people, pastors maybe, evangelists, people with titles, people with jobs in the church. We think it's just for them, for special people, but I think it's for you and me. And do we think that today? We need to change our thinking. And my final question for us is, are there some people we actually don't want in his house? Because they might disturb it. They might upset things. I want to tell you, many churches die for that very reason. They pray, Lord, move. Lord, save people. Lord, rescue people. Reach people. Cause new people to become part of our community. And then when he does, I know we prayed for this, Lord, but not them. And sometimes some churches can't accept young people. Some churches can't accept broken people. Some churches can't accept rich people. But my hope, and the kind of church that I long for us to be in answer to those questions, is that we have the same passion of Jesus, or at least we want it. that our prayer today would be, Lord, give us the same passion for other people that you've got. Let us see it today. Let us, as we look at you and we look through the icons and we see you, let us have that same passion for people that you have. My prayer is that we would want his house to be full. I'm not talking about this building or Stocksbridge building or the workstation in Sheffield, because they're just buildings. That's not the house of God. But that God's house is much bigger than that. Buildings can't contain God's house. And God wants his house to be full. We can't count everyone that Jesus wants to save. My prayer is that we would want to see people find peace in the life that they live, and to see people rescued from sin, from oppression, from despair, from fear, from failure, and that would have a relationship with God that is full of joy. Yeah. Now, our campus pastors in Chesterfield aren't here today, but I am going to quote Nathan, as long as you don't tell him. There's a reason you shouldn't tell him. I won't tell you what that is. But he always says this: I'm not the savior, but I am the invitation. I can't save anybody. I can't rescue anybody. I can't give anybody peace, but I'm an icon. And I'm saying, look through me and look to Jesus, because he's the savior. So I've got 2 points as we close this message. The first is this: I want us to remember to invest and invite. Invest and invite. Invest time with people and invite them into the banquet, into God's house, to go to the poor, the broken, the marginalized, the streets, the highways, the byways, the neighbors, the officers, the businessmen, to go wherever we are, and invest time and invite. And right now, in all our campuses, you're going to be given a card. It'll be passed across your row and given to you. And it's just on the front of it. It's really nice. It's got the title of this 2 weeks sermon series. And it says, Move. When the subtitle, Reaching People with the Message of Jesus. And then on the back, there's a space for you to write the name of 1, 2, or 3 people. It could be a family member. It could be a neighbor. It could be someone you're already praying for. It could be someone you've had a conversation with, someone you work with. It could just be. Don't write it just yet unless you really feel prompted to. But do it. Maybe before you leave this morning. There's pens around the building if you need them. But write the name of 1 or 2 people. I'm going to do that. And then every day I've got a little diary. I've got a little notebook that I read every morning, every night, and I write in. I'm going to put that in as a bookmark so that each day I'll see that and I remember to pray for those people. Invest and invite. And the reason we want you to do that, the reason we're asking you to do that, is that in 2008, there was a survey that said 20% of the unchurched UK population would go to church if they were invited. 20%, that's 1 in 5, isn't it? Would go if somebody invited them. I think that's staggering. That means there's somebody in my world right now that God has already been working on. God has already been moving in their lives. God is already speaking to them. And that right now they would be open to a conversation. They'd be open to an invitation. Do you know there's so many stories in Icon Church about family members, work colleagues, friends, people, neighbors, who were just invited. They were invited to Christmas event. They were invited to Imagine. They were invited to Sunday morning. They were invited to youth. They were invited to something. And when they were invited, they came and they didn't see just what was going on, because that's just an icon. They actually saw through the icon and they saw and met Jesus. And I believe we're going to see so much of that going forward. I remember some months ago, we had some prayer cards in a prayer meeting, and we asked people, you know, we're going to write names of people on these prayer cards. people that you want to see come back to God, people that you want to see know God maybe for the first time in their lives. And one person got so excited, and the reason they got excited was this. They said this, "I'm only here because my work colleague did this for me. They told me when I came to church, when I gave my life to Jesus, that some months earlier they'd written my name on a card and the whole church had prayed over those names. And I'm here because of that today. And I want to do that for someone else. I want to see God do that in someone else's life. I got a friend that I've been praying for years now, several years. His name will be the first name on this card. Praying for that person. Because I want to see God move in their life as I move in prayer. So here's the thing to do with this card. Put it somewhere where you'll see it regularly. Pray for those person regularly. Invest some time in getting to know them and build relationship with them, whether that's at work or wherever you engage with them. And then when it's appropriate, you choose when that is, invite them. Bring them along to something suitable at church. Like I said, this will be in my diary, and that card will be there, and I'll be praying every morning, every evening for those people on the card. And then my final thing is this. Think about this. We could be someone's divine appointment. When we live as icons and we live not saying, look at me, but look through me and meet Jesus, we could be somebody's divine appointment with Jesus Christ. In the late 1980s, there was a book written called Divine Appointments. I can remember reading it that long ago. And it was written by someone who had a unique and incredible personal story. Larry Tomczak was his name. And he was about to take his own life when somebody spoke to him. And they spoke to him at just the right moment. He came to believe that this chance meeting with a stranger actually was a divine appointment. A moment that was set up by God to save his life. Larry committed his life to do the same. He became a pastor. He became a leader. And this book came out at a time when many in the church were teaching believers how to reach out with their faith and to consistently look for those opportunities, for those divine appointments, where God would engineer and craft something in a person's day that would be an opportunity. I think it's good to look for those moments, to look for those divine appointments. They may be already in your diary for this week and you don't know it. But I think what's even better is to decide to be the divine appointment. To decide to look and say, God, in this situation, let this be a divine appointment for that person. An appointment set up by God to bring hope, to bring life, to bring words of encouragement and courage that could save someone's life and steer their future. At Awaken, I felt led to share a story. I've not shared it much because it can seem a bit weird, particularly if you've not got a church background, but I'm going to risk it on you. Is that all right? I didn't feel confident. Could you shout in Stocksbridge, "We don't think you're weird, Paul"? Can't hear you. Sheffield, have a go. Chesterfield, have a go. "We don't think you're weird, Paul." I felt led to share this story. And it was a story about several weeks before I was full-time in the church. Jeannie and I were pastoring the church. I was working for a company called Coal Products. And I started, and this lasted for weeks. At 4 o'clock, I would have this thought, "This is your last day. You won't survive today. You'll go to bed tonight. You won't wake up in the morning." And something, you can imagine how that made me feel. I would have that thought and I would believe it. And it would, I would go home. I would go to bed. And I would fully expect not to wake up. And then I'd wake up and I'd be fine. But then at 4 o'clock, And I knew it was 4 o'clock because I had a clock on my desk. And it's either 5 to 4, 4 o'clock, or 5 past 4. I would have the same thought. And this went on for weeks. And I didn't tell anybody. Don't think I even told Jeannie. I just lived, went to bed, not expecting to get up. I'm not exaggerating this story at all. And then I went to a meeting one Tuesday. It was in Bawtry Hall. It was organized by Ground Level and Stuart Bell. And Stuart had invited a speaker. And the speaker got up to speak. And during his message, he looked at me. And there was about 60, 70 pastors there. And he looked at me and he said, come here. He didn't know me. I'd never met him. And he said this. And this is where it gets weird. He said, at 4 o'clock, every day, the devil has visited you and told you that this would be your last day. And then he hit me on the shoulder. I mean, like, you could sue him for that nowadays, couldn't you? Right. But I tell you, if you're a prophet, you can punch me in the nose. I don't care. He hit me on the shoulder. And he said, I brushed that off of you today in Jesus' name. And I never had that thought again. And I have never had a thought like that again in my life. I'd not planned to share that story until the morning of me speaking at Awaken. But I shared that story. And afterwards, over the next few days, a lady came to me. And she said, last week, I went to the Humber Bridge to take my life. When I got there, I remember that I'd booked in to come to Awaken. For weeks, I have not been wanting to wake up. I want my life to end. And I said, as I was at the Humber Bridge, and I remembered I booked in to Awaken, if nothing happens that weekend, I'm coming back and I'm going to finish what I started. She said, as you told that story and said, I brushed that off of you in the name of Jesus, something left me. It's been so long since I have felt this joy. It's been so long since I've been at peace. And it's been so long since I've wanted to wake up. I can't wait to wake up tomorrow morning and to give God some praise and to give God some glory. It's a weird story, but I can only tell the truth because God is working. We never know who he's working in. There's a young person in our church. I've not seen him this morning. If he's here, I'm going to say who it is and I might embarrass him. But his name's James Eaton. And at Awaken Youth Revival, he got a prophetic word about being an evangelist. And he came back, and last week he invited a friend of his to come to youth on Sunday night. That friend came to youth on Sunday night, made a decision to follow Jesus. He just had the courage and the boldness to invite somebody. They came, they made a decision. They were in church on Sunday, PM 2. I think that's worth some praise too. So my encouragement to us today, this message is invest, pray, invite, and be somebody's divine appointment. Let the band come back as I close. As the band come back, why don't we all stand? So this week in my devotions, I've been thinking about this verse in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 7. Let me give you the background first. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 7. Paul the Apostle is being accused of being unimpressive, weak. I think it fits today's culture, doesn't it? Because we love idols and we love superstars. We even love Christian superstars. But Paul the Apostle is being accused by the Corinthians of being unimpressive and weak. And he says this. We have this treasure, this message, this is what he's talking about, this gospel, this ministry of reaching others. We have this treasure in clay jars or earthen vessels. Some commentators think he's alluding to wrestling, the sport of wrestling, where they would wrestle in dirt rings, and the wrestlers would oil themselves before they went into combat so that the opponent couldn't get a grip. And then as the, I'm going to gross you out here, Sheffield, you'll not be ready for this. As the oil mixed with sweat, and as they fell and tumbled to the ground, they ended up looking like clay statues. They think Paul is painting this picture. We have this treasure in clay pots. We look weak. We look unimpressive. But there's a purpose that this treasure is in clay jars. He says it's this, so that it may be made clear that the extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are not the Savior, but we are the invitation. We are clay, unimpressive statues, earthen vessels, weak and unimpressive, but we are icons. And we say, don't look at us, look through us and see Jesus, because He has the power to save. He has the power to heal. He has the power to transform lives. So as I close, before I pray, God will use the weak. God will use the broken. God will use the unimpressive. He will use the willing, the available, the malleable, the people who are open to change. God will use the bold, the pure in spirit. The person who, like Nashon in the Talmud, was the first to step into the water. And that means that God will use you. And God will use me. God is moving. Let us move too. Come on, let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word today. As we take these cards today, we pray over them in this moment. We pray for friends, family, work colleagues, neighbors, people in our street. Pray for the rich, the prosperous, people who are doing super well in life. We pray for the poor and the broken, people who are struggling with life and everything in the whole human spectrum of existence. We pray for people. Give us the passion that you have for others. Give us the passion to move because you are moving. We ask that today in Jesus' name. Use us, Lord, today. We say to you, here am I. Send me, use me for your kingdom and for your purposes. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Just keep your eyes closed and your head bowed, because put the house lights up just for a second. Because I want to ask if in Stocksbridge, in Sheffield, or here in Chesterfield, there's any person here in any of our services today and you've never made a decision to follow Jesus. I want to give you that opportunity right now. You know today, God's moving, God's working on your life. You know that some of the things I've said, you feel they're just for you, just like that guy with the watch in High Wycombe. If that's you today, whether you're in Stocksbridge, Sheffield, here in Chesterfield, I wonder, would you raise your hand? Because I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I just want to know that I'm praying for you today. So thrilled that every weekend across Icon Church, we see people making decisions to follow Jesus. And we give opportunity for people to make decisions to follow Jesus. You made a great step to be in church today. God loves you. He's got a plan for your life. Before we worship, we're just going to say this prayer on the screen all together. I'll say a few more words and then we'll worship as we close, as we're sent out to reach people with the message of Jesus. So come on, church, let's say it. After three, one, two, three, all together. One, two, three. Jesus, I come to you today and confess that I need you. Please come into my life and forgive me of all my sins. Jesus, be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for giving me a brand new start. Today, I open my life to you. Amen. Let's celebrate, church, with all those people who made that decision. So as I leave you in the hands of our great team here, are you ready to pray for loved ones, work colleagues, children, children's children? Are you ready to pray? Use the card. Don't miss the opportunity. Are we ready as a church to lift our eyes, to be on the front foot, to take that first step, like Nashon, into the water, and to reach people with the message of Jesus? God is moving, and so are we.